From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue this series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 8. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Such is the language of the believer panting after present fellowship with Jesus. He is sick for his Lord. Gracious souls are never perfectly at ease, except they are in a state of nearness to Christ. For when they are away from Him, they lose their peace. The nearer to Him, the nearer to the perfect calm of heaven. The nearer to Him, the fuller the heart is, not only of peace, but of life and vigor and joy. For these all depend on constant fellowship with Jesus. What the sun is to the day, what the moon is to the night, what the dew is to the flower, such is Jesus Christ to us. What bread is to the hungry, clothing to the naked, the shadow of a great rock to the traveler in a weary land, such is Jesus Christ to us. And therefore, if we are not consciously one with Him, little marvel if our spirit cries in the words of the song, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. This earnest longing after Jesus has a blessing attending it. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and therefore, supremely blessed are they who thirst after the righteous one. Blessed is that hunger, since it comes from God. If I may not have the full-blown blessedness of being filled, I would seek the same blessedness in its sweet bud pining, in emptiness and eagerness, till I am filled with Christ. If I may not feed on Jesus, it shall be next door to heaven to hunger and thirst after Him. There is a hallowedness about that hunger, since it sparkles among the Beatitudes of our Lord. But the blessing involves a promise. Such hungry ones shall be filled with what they are desiring. If Christ thus causes us to long after Himself, He will certainly satisfy those longings. And when He does come to us, as come He will, oh, how sweet it will be.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for
you.
Facing a time of spiritual darkness, the inspired psalmist declared, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me." It is in the Word of God that we find the answers to life's perplexities. A recently released booklet entitled Songs in the Night is a compilation of key verses from each book of the Bible, selected by Bruce A. Byers, retired professor of French at Bob Jones University. Presented in an attractive full-color format, these verses will help you to receive the comfort of the Scriptures at any occasion, but especially during dark times. For a free copy of Songs in the Night, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Songs in the Night, and we'll be happy to provide it. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been preaching a series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of Christ. As he nears the conclusion of the series, he commences a message entitled, The Risen Christ in the Midst of His Disciples. Taking as his text the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, Dr. Cairns declares that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in history is what differentiates Christianity from all other religions in the world, and makes it the one true faith. The focus in this message is upon the 40 days between Christ's resurrection and his ascension to heaven. First of all, we are reminded of the literalness of Jesus' resurrected body and life, as Dr. Cairns considers Christ and death. We must face the fact that he really died, in spite of many fanciful theories to the contrary.
Now Dr. Cairns introduces this message, The Risen Christ in the Midst of His Disciples.
We come to John chapter 20 this morning, and we're going to read the entire chapter. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Then Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Describing himself to John the Apostle, when John was on the Isle of Patmos, a prisoner for Christ's sake, the Lord Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. This is what marks the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the history of the world. Other religions stand upon men who once lived and now are dead. Christianity stands upon one who once lived, was put to death, and rose again from the dead, and today lives in the power of an endless life. The glorious truth of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, but rose again from the dead according to the scriptures, in the very body in which he had been crucified. Now, over the last weeks, months, and I must confess, even years, we have followed these Sabbath mornings. We have followed the Lord Jesus Christ from that commencement of his public ministry with his baptism at the River Jordan by John the Baptist, through his time in the wilderness in temptation, through the 3 years of his ministry, right up until the time when he suffered unto death in agonies and blood. After his death, he rose again, and after his resurrection, he spent 40 days upon this earth prior to his ascension to the right hand of the Father. And today, I want us to consider those 40 days of life on earth after the resurrection. I want us to think particularly upon the risen Christ in the midst of his disciples. Now, I don't want you simply to sit back and say, well, now we have all believed in the resurrection all our lives. It's a great truth, but what's new? You know, we're in sad shape when either the life or the death or the resurrection of Jesus Christ simply becomes an item in a creed, and when it loses its vitality and its immediacy. I want this to sink in. We're dealing with the biography of Christ. Whether you've noticed or not, some of you will have and some of you may not have, we have not sought to deal with all the events in the life of Christ. We have not sought to deal with all the sayings of Christ. We have not sought to deal with all the sermons of Christ. That would be an endless series. Some of you think this series is almost endless. What we have sought to do is rather to take each thing with this controlling factor, the biography of Christ himself. It's been my burden that we learn not only what Jesus did, what Jesus said, and where he went. Not only to look at the people with whom he came in contact, but to seek to gain an intimate and increasing knowledge of Christ himself. It's his biography that we have been trying to paint in words in these past studies. But I want this to sink in. We have come to his death. We have seen him crucified, bathed in his own shed blood. We have seen the writhing body come to stillness and then be wrapped up in grave clothes and laid in a tomb. Now that's the end of any man's biography. A biography is simply the writing of a life. That's the end. When you die, your biography's over. Oh, there'll be an influence for what has happened, but your biography is written. The last period to the last sentence has been placed. But this is the fact. After this death, the life goes on, not in some mere spiritual realm. This is not some mystical message drawn in poetic phraseology from the good influences of Christ. This is a literal living, just as literal as the life that he lived on the earth, in a literal body, just as literal as the body in which he lived before his death. The biography of Christ goes on. We see the risen Christ in the midst of his people. Now that's a fairly huge area to study, and we're going to try to get to the heart of it as briefly as possible. The best way to do that is to have as few points as possible. And I'll try to do that too, successfully or otherwise. We'll try. I want us to consider first Christ and death, for his resurrection has a lot to say about Christ and death. And then we will think of Christ and his disciples. Now I'll be very brief on this matter, I hope, of Christ and death. We start with this fact. He really died. He really died. It wasn't a matter that he looked as if he were dead, he was dead. There have been many so-called scholars who have sought to explain the resurrection by saying that he didn't really die. The whole infamous religion of Islam postulates this lie of the devil that Jesus did not die. Judas took his place, or some other such crazy notion, but Jesus did not die. Among apostates in the Christian church, many say he was put on the cross, he swooned, he was so weakened that those professionals in the art of putting men to death, the Roman centurion and the soldiers, they were all fooled. They could see that the thieves were still alive, and they broke their legs so that they could no longer haul themselves up upon the cross and would die of asphyxiation rather quickly. But they were fooled into thinking that Jesus died because he was so weakened by loss of blood and that he swooned on the cross, fell into such a coma that he appeared to be dead. Of course, what these so-called Christians, not Christians, but liars, I make no apology for calling the devil's brood for what it is, of their father, the devil, liars. What they don't tell you is that they go on to postulate as a miracle just as great as the resurrection in some ways, because how any man so weakened by loss of blood in such a coma could then be taken and wrapped up in grave clothes that were impregnated with 100 pounds of embalming spices and thrown into a cold tomb sealed by a huge stone. How on earth 3 days later he could be walking the road to Emmaus as if nothing had happened to him is a mystery beyond all knowledge or medical or scientific experience. In other words, it's rubbish.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.